we live by the faith of the Son of God.
Faith ensures productivity.
That means every time we mix faith with the word of God, we are productive. The word is the gospel. That means the gospel was designed for your faith. The gospel, the word of God, is the raw material for faith. The factory for the fabrication of faith is your spirit. The machine, Malakaya. The equipment for fabricating the faith is meditation. You need to raise the level of your faith so you can raise the level of your productivity.
What to do where there is no change as yet. Hallelujah. Amen. You can go ahead and rejoice. Amen. It's been an amazing teaching. Amen. What to do when there is no change as yet. We are believers. Amen. We are believers in Jesus Christ. We are not the same with the world. Glory to God. Our origin is not the same. Our insertion is not the same. Amen. Hallelujah. Only a few understand what I just said. Glory to God. Our source is different. Our modus operandi is different. You know, a dear man of God preached a message many years ago. He says, we play by a different set of rules. And that is so true. Hallelujah. Our power greed is from Zion. Glory to God. We are plugged into another system. Amen. Very important. I mentioned this on Sunday, that a church with identity crisis can never rise in dominion and to take over. Amen. Hallelujah. And this is part of the ministry of the word. The word of God reveals to us who God is and reveals to us who we are. And also the word tells us how we are to live on the earth. It's a revelation of the righteousness of God. Are you here? So we look into God's word and we see how to live every day. And that is a reality. How to live every day. Glory to God. How to live every day. The word of God is practical. The word of God is true. The word of God is real. The word of God is our instruction manual in the life of righteousness. Hallelujah. You know, Paul writing Timothy said, the word of God is profitable for doctrine. I like to tell people that doctrinal accuracy is just 1/4 of the ministry of the word. Hallelujah. It says profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Did you see that? For instruction in righteousness. Hallelujah. For instruction in righteousness. So through the word, we know how to live. We are equipped to handle life's challenges. We are equipped to live every day winning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, this teaching, now, if you have not listened to the other parts, I believe this should be part 8. I beg you in the name of the Lord, go and get them and listen to them. What to do when there is no change as yet. Go to the e-library and get them and listen to them. A lot of believers are stuck and they are not supposed to get stuck. Hallelujah. And part of the reason for getting stuck is lack of the understanding of the things we are teaching. Hallelujah. You know, we live in the 21st century where there's advocacy for instant things. Okay. There's advocacy for shortening the time by which things are done. Okay. So you have Insta coffee makers, Instagram, hallelujah, drive past things, all kinds of things are happening. Glory to God. But unfortunately, that is not the case with fulfilling your destiny on the earth. This is why many get stuck. And social media has not helped matters. Amen. Hallelujah. Before, you don't really know what's happening to people you have not seen for a long time. Hallelujah. But it's not the same now. Just wake up in the morning and see your roommate. He has blown. Amen. Glory to God. Quote, hello, quote. And you're wondering, you mean this guy? He's even on vacation in Dubai. Hallelujah. And then you start putting your husband under pressure. Amen. Glory to God. Or putting God under pressure, which is something good if you know how to go about it. My point is, there's a way God has designed the algorithm of life to operate. Okay. And when you abide by that, you are off the regular pressures that people have. Are we together? So, what to do when there is no change as yet? Part 8. Give me 2 Corinthians very quickly, chapter 4. We'll read 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 17 and 18. And 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do I have living people here? All right. Are you ready for God's word? All right. He says, for a light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Hallelujah. Many things to say from here. He said, why we look not at the things which are seen. So he addresses your focus. That's the first thing he does. He says, a light affliction, which is but for a moment. That means no matter what a believer is going through, is called a light affliction. Are we together? It's classified as light affliction. You commonize it. It's not a big deal. Whether it looks like what you are reaching out for. And like we said, the teaching is not just for going through challenging season. It also applies to stretching forth to lay hands on the next levels. Amen. You're reaching out to a dream. You're stretching forth for a dream. There's something before you. There's something God has told you and hasn't come to pass yet. Or there's a next level that you see, you've seen in your heart, and you have made plans. You're reaching out to it. And it's as though it's not coming forth as fast as you intended or as fast as you planned. The message is for you. Are we together? Glory to God. So it says, a light affliction, the delays, the waiting, which is but for a moment, works for us an eternal weight of glory. Then the next thing he does is to address your focus. He said, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen are eternal. We spent a whole evening talking about that. So he addresses your focus. He's saying, when your focus is right, or if your focus is right, things will turn around. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. And that was the first point we began to deal with. We said, pay attention to your focus. How many of you remember that? Pay attention to your focus. We said, primarily the teaching is along two lines. Paying attention to your focus and paying attention to your faith. If you remember, glory to God. Hallelujah. So he says, why we look not at the things which are seen? For the things which are seen are temporal. They are subject to change. They are manipulatable. Oh, glory to God. But the things which are not seen, he says, for the things which are not seen are eternal. They are eternal, meaning they are constant, meaning they are reliable. Glory to God. So what we do is to use the eternal to change the temporal. Did you get that? When we focus on the eternal, we can influence the temporal. That's what he's talking about. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. Message translation. Very quickly. 19. Message translation. He said, we couldn't be more sure of what we saw and heard. God's glory. God's voice. The prophetic word was confirmed to us. So he's talking about the word of God. He says, you would do well to keep focusing on it. It is the one light you have in a dark time as you wait for daybreak and the rising of the morning star in your heart. You don't have two lights. It's one. Glory to God. He said, you would do well to keep focusing on it. Again, he talks about your focus. When there is no change as yet, the first thing to handle is your focus. The first thing to pay attention to is your focus. What are you looking at? What are you looking at? He says, if your eye be one, your body will be full of light. What are you looking at? Life is a battle of focus. You've heard me say that again and again and again. Life is a battle of focus. What your gaze is on will manifest sooner or later. Are we together? So you pay attention to your focus. The first thing is focusing on God's eternal word. Number two. Pardon? Focusing on what? Lagos Caster. What's going on? You are now flipping back. We said the first thing is to focus on the invisible force of God's word. Mm-hmm. Number two, God's love, invisible force of God's love. Number three, focusing on your soul. That's where we stopped. Focusing on your soul. What's the first thing in focusing on your soul? Soul development. You focus on your soul, number one. How? Which area? Soul development now. Number two. Which is what we handled last week. Number two. Purging your soul of offenses. Hallelujah. Focus on your soul. That was our third part in paying attention to your focus. And the first of that was focusing on your soul development. When there is no change as yet, focusing on your soul development. Hallelujah. And we said many things. What stood out for you talking about focusing on your soul development? Can I have two persons say something? Increasing the bandwidth of your mind. Beautiful. Who else? Oh, forgiveness is a form of pride. Okay, you have stepped into the two. I was still talking about soul development. Okay, but lovely. Unforgiveness is a form of pride. Okay, who else? Let me take two more. Mm-hmm. Train your mind. Okay, to think through problems and difficulties. Who else? What stood out for you in talking about soul development? When there is no change as yet, developing your soul, focusing on your soul development. Pardon? Enlarging the capacity of your soul. The same word is it, increasing your mental bandwidth. Okay, what else? Who else? I'll take one more. A lady, thank you. Removing God from your blame list. Thank you. Again, that's the second part. Removing God from your blame list. That stood out for you. All right. We said most times people focus on every other thing apart from the leanness of their soul. Never forget that. It's a trap. When there's no change as yet, you are thinking the vision before you is maybe moving your business to tens of millions, hundreds of millions, doing things at a particular level. You've prayed, okay, you have worked hard, and it's as though things have not changed yet. Don't start looking at the external things. Look at the capacity of your soul. So we say most times people look on the outside. This guy is not showing me favor. This guy promised me this. He's not doing it. You see, we just say many things on the outside and don't pay attention to the leanness of the soul. And I told you, remember the first seven things, the first thing we did was talk about seven reasons why there are delays. Okay, I remember the last part we said, the lack of capacity to handle what you are praying for or what you are looking for. Glory to God. Because success has weight. Amen. Glory to God. So you have to make room. And the primary way you make room is by enlarging the capacity of your soul. Very important. Enlarging the capacity of your soul. Making room for God in your inner internal environment. Very important. Hallelujah. Never forget that. You can go and get the materials. So we journey to the second part, which is purging your soul of offense. Purging your soul of offense. Hallelujah. Purging your soul of offense. Now, everything you're looking for, everything you desire will come through the hand of faith. Remember, grace makes it available for free. Faith is the hand that takes from the table of grace. But you see, the energy of faith is what? Talk to me, somebody. The energy of faith is what? Love. Love is the energy of faith. Remember Galatians chapter 5 verse 6. It says in Christ, neither circumcision nor circumcision avails anything, but faith which works by love. Hallelujah. So we say love is the energy of faith. So, I'm just trying to tie up something now. So, your faith cannot deliver if there's offense. if there's offense. And the Bible says offense must come. Remarkable statement, right? Matthew chapter 18, verse 7. Offense must come. So it's not about what the person did or didn't do. It's about your soul being purged from offense. Hallelujah. All right. We said if you get into offense and remain in offense, you will miss your harvest. That's what we said. Unforgiveness is a type of pride and a declaration of self-righteousness. And then we'll talk about the parable of the unforgiving servant in Matthew 18, 24 to 35. Were you blessed by that? How many of you remember this, the parable? Hallelujah. You shouldn't forget it. The servant came, he was owing the master 10,000 talent, right? I'm saying that's about 16 million US dollars. Praise God. And he cried and was forgiven. On his way out, he found another servant who was owing him 16, how many of you remember? $16. 6K, amen. Like 6K, somewhere around 6K. And he won't just let it go. Hallelujah. And you know, the scenario was so funny, but I told us that, look, most Christians live in that zone. Amen. What God did for us was forgiving us 16 million US dollars. But what we do when we don't forgive people is hanging a man for 6K when you've just been forgiven 16 million US dollars. Did you get that? So that's bringing it home. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I believe we ended up in Acts 24:16. That's where we begin from today. Acts 24:16. So purge your soul of offenses. Purge it. Purge it. You can do it. You have the ability to do it. Don't let unforgiveness in. Don't let jealousy, envy, don't let it in. Bitterness. It doesn't matter what was done. Let it go. He says offenses must come. It will clog your soul. Listen. Offense blinds you from seeing the big picture. You can write that down. We're going to go into case study from scriptures shortly. Offenses will blind you from seeing the big picture. You can't let it in. You can't let it in. Anyone who walks in offense, unforgiveness, and bitterness, watch them very closely. They can't see the big picture. They are carried away by the immediate. And like Jeremiah put it, you can't see when good comes. Glory to God. You don't want to be there. So purge your soul of offense. Give me Acts quickly. Acts 24:16. Put it up. He says, and herein do I exercise myself. Herein do I exercise myself. So you exercise yourself in your love work. That's what he's saying. That means walking in love is an exercise. It's not automatic. You train your mind to walk in love. You train yourself to reject offenses. It's a herein do I exercise myself. That means you are practicing. Glory to God. That means you are stretching. Glory to God. That means you are inclining your soul. It doesn't come automatically. You train your soul until you master it. That's what exercise does. Remember, I said strong meat belongs to those who by reason of exercise, who by reason of use, have exercised their senses. Can you see? So maturity doesn't come without exercise. That's what he's saying. It's the same thing Paul is saying. I exercise myself to always, not sometimes, to always have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. And the first part got my attention is a reality. There are many Christians who are offended at God. Now, I mean, this thing about offense is not just against a fellow man. You can be offended at God. Oh, yes, life can throw you things that will get you offended at God. If you have not exercised your heart, if you are not informed properly. Do you know how many people became atheists because they lost their mom to cancer? Or maybe they had loved ones who died very mysteriously, and there were pictures. Those people who died were their picture of those who served God. I mean, this is a perfect Christian. If he died, what's going to happen to me? Is that truly a God? If there's a God, how come he couldn't preserve them? I mean, this child is just 8 years old. How come? What happened? Is that really a God? Does he care about us? Does he care about me? If he cares about me, why is this happening to me? Offense. So Paul says, I'm exercising myself to have a conscience that is void of offense toward God. What it means is, listen, if you understand why everything happens, especially the negative things, you don't need to exercise your conscience, void of offense. You already know. What he's saying is, even when you can't explain with your mind, trust God, judge God faithful. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. Because if you can explain it, you will not get offended at God. He's talking about seasons where you are trying to rearrange your theology. What's going on here? Lord, what's going on? Well, he's pre-informing you to judge him faithful. You just judge him faithful. Hallelujah. And then toward man. Tell yourself, I'm too high to be offended. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And someone says, so how do I exercise myself? Use your mouth and practice mercy. Basically, those two things. Use your mouth. Declare it. I refuse to hold this person in my heart. I refuse to be offended. I refuse to be offended. I was sick for 3 days. He says he cares about me, and he did not even call. He did not visit. I text him. He is aware that this happened. I refuse to be offended. Glory to God. I refuse to be offended. I refuse to be offended. You use your mouth. You say, I release this person. I know offenses are in levels. Amen. I release this person. Say it. You say it. You say it. It doesn't matter what the person did, including those who were abused sexually. Release the people. Release the people. Because they are not in prison. You are the one in prison. Release them. And let God be the judge. Release them. Walking in offense is like being in prison for another person's crime. I told you last week that offense is the perfect law of bondage. You are in prison for another man's crime. It doesn't make sense. Glory to God. Why not break out of the prison? Do your own prison break, amen? By letting go. Hallelujah. And it's not hard anymore. This is why I took you to the parable of the unforgiving servant. It's not hard. When you look at how much forgiveness you received from the Father, there's nothing on earth anybody can do to you that you can forgive. Absolutely nothing. Listen, God, that was, he said, this is how the kingdom operates. It was a parable about the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus said. The king there is the Father. Praise God. He's talking about our kingdom here. That means what we are forgiving is that $16 million. And whatever any man can do to us is compared to that $20, $16 to $20. Amen. The gap is much. Amen. So there's no excuse. You can't stay there. We are different. Hallelujah. Let's check out a few people from scriptures. The first person is Joseph. The first person is Joseph. Now you will see the lives of these people, that they are disciplined or decision, as it were, to have a conscience void of offenses, programmed their destinies. It arranged things in a remarkable way. It opened doors for them. That was the reason they got to fulfill their destiny. And we're going to read a few scriptures. You remember Joseph in the Bible? Loved by his father. He was given a coat of many colors. Hated by his brothers. To make it worse, he had a dream. Instead of keeping his mouth shut, he went to tell his brothers. Blah, blah, blah. I have a dream. 11 stars, the sun and the moon bow to me. I had a dream while we're gathering the harvest on the farm. Your sheaves bowed to mine. He was so young. Remember, he was just 17, probably less than that at that time. Hallelujah. He started by dreaming and not understanding the interpretation. Then as he grew, he could interpret the dreams but not profound solutions. Then as he grew some more, after interpreting, he has solution. Oh, you didn't notice the progression?
Yes, sir.
You know, in the dungeon, he told the butler and the baker, "Now, guy, you be restored to the father. You, it means you die." He said, "What can I do about it?" He said, "There's nothing now. You just die." Glory to God. But see, God kept preparing him. At the time he was to appear before the king. You see, I'll talk about the development of the soul. When he was to appear before Pharaoh, he was ready. He was ready. He didn't say, "Okay, Pharaoh, this is the meaning of your dream." Pharaoh said, "So what shall we do?" "I don't know." "No, no, no, no." God had prepared him. At that time, he said, "Sir, God will give you an answer of peace." I akebada. And that was all peace. Was that 14-year agroeconomic plan? He had it. He had it. He had it. In fact, to start with, the breath with which he gave the interpretation, Pharaoh couldn't look elsewhere. He couldn't do tribalism. It's not possible. He said, "There's no man as discreet as thou art in this kingdom. There's no man as wise who can handle this. Come and run things." Amen. Glory to God. All right. He was hated by his brothers, dropped in the pit, sold to slavery. Do you know what it means for your brothers to sell you? Just because they hated you. Do you know how many people would die of bitterness? Just they'll have heart attack from the bitterness. I mean, that's blood. They sold you. I went and lied to your father that the wife beast got you killed. And like I always like to say, slavery in those days. See, a slave is not a houseboy. Don't mix them. A slave is not a houseboy. A houseboy has rights. You can call Human Rights Commission and they'll come and talk to your guy. Say, "Why are you treating him like this?" In fact, they can bring police for your guy. It's not like that in those days. Joseph was not a houseboy. He was a slave. They priced them in the market. And sometimes they are naked. Like you price the goat. Amen. So, God, how much is this one? 30 pieces of silver. 40 pieces of silver. I say, "Haba, haba, haba, haba." 40 pieces. This one, can he walk? He say, "Haba." Oga, see the muzzle now. See, this guy, he can carry Ludo. And they say, "I'll give you 30 pieces." Okay, talk. Just bring down. What's the man go do? They sold human beings like goats. So I want you to understand, he was sold into slavery. But you see, there was something about the attitude of Joseph. The way he lived in Potiphar's house was a revelation of his attitude. He had no guile. He didn't live like, and by the way, that was what opened the doors for him. Because if you are still attached, listen, if you are obsessed about the past, you can never step into the future. You can write that somewhere. You have to let it go. You have to focus on the future and let go of the past. And that opened the door for him in the house of Potiphar. The Bible says, "And the Lord also Joseph," Genesis 39. "And he was a prosperous man. And he served in the house of his master," in Potiphar's house, his master. "The Lord was with Joseph. He was a prosperous man." The Lord was with Joseph. He was a prosperous man. Happy man. The Bible says his master left everything in his care. He just came to eat food. They could trust him. That's not a man with bitterness. I told you, bitterness and unforgiveness and offense, they are distracting. It will show. It will make you lose sight of the big picture. So his brothers offended him. Bam. Potiphar's house came. So Potiphar's wife came. Fine boy, I want you. And he says, I cannot do this great wickedness in the sight of God. He was conscious of God. Or do this against my master. And then boom, one day harassed him, took the cloth as evidence. Amen. Evidence. She had the cloth. Evidence. He ran out. And she started shouting, hey, look at this Hebrew. He's in charge of the house. That's not enough for him. He wants me also. Hallelujah. And there was smoke. Amen. But that smoke had no fire. Amen. For those of you who believe that every smoke must have fire. Potiphar's house had evidence. Strong evidence. Glory to God. Now, in fact, the way Potiphar treated Joseph showed that he didn't believe his wife. But he had to fulfill all righteousness. At that a slave for what? You are dead. You know what the Bible says? You say you can't give a man anything for defiling his wife. You can't. He says, sell your whole estate, give him the whole world. He can't. You can't. And he does this. Are you here? Lied upon, ended up in the dungeon, in the deepest prison. But watch this. His attitude did not change. He is the one who was supposed to be sad. Yet, he was so joyous, so happy that he noticed the countenance of fellow prison men, fellow prisoners. What a man. Happy person. Jolly good fellow. You know why? He didn't have time to get offended. He didn't have time for offenses. Genesis 45 verse 5. Now fast forward, he became the prime minister. Was so wealthy, his brothers came. He saw them. He saw them. He saw them. You see, our culture is vendetta centered and controlled. Even the movies that we watch. Actor must kill boss. You know boss? Amen. Must kill the bad guy. You are not even happy. If the movie ended and the bad guy was not beheaded for what he did, or if he just dies normally, thank you. You watching the movie, you are not happy. Say he should die in a particular way. No, have you noticed? There has to be revenge. It's revenge driven. But that does, it doesn't go with the righteousness of God all the time. Yes, there are times that it has to play out that way. But not all the time. You have to go with the righteousness of God. Imagine a mindset of revenge. Do you know what they did? They sold him. That's the ending your life. But when they came, we're going to read 3 verses in Genesis. And it will give you insight into the mind of Joseph. It will tell you why he made such progress. He didn't have time to be offended. Give me Genesis 45 verse 5 first. Now we'll go to Genesis 50, 22, 21. He said, now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves. Can you imagine? Comforting them. That you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. That means you must have the picture of the greater purpose. This is how to get yourself out of this offense thing. You see the picture of the greater purpose. Hallelujah. You are not blinded by what is done to you. Falsely accused, he was still joyful. He didn't care. When his brothers showed up, look at what he said. He said, don't be angry at yourselves. For God sent me ahead to preserve lives. Genesis 50, 20 to 21. Do you know that offense will rob you of your joy and peace? And these two things are critical to your harvest, which is what you're expecting. Glory to God. It will rob you of your joy. And joy is the sequel for the harvest. Now, give me, we'll read King James, then give me Message translation. Now, this was after their father had died. Watch this. They had lived in Goshen for years. At this point, Jacob was dead. In their heart, they felt he had been treating them well because their father was alive. Now that he was dead, they were jittery. Hope he's not going to deal with us. Daddy, they have still not understood their brother. And then he had to assure them. He said, as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. That means you are seeing something beyond the actions of others. That's where I'm going. That's what I'm at tonight. You learn to see beyond what people did to you. You look beyond the ill treatment to see the bigger picture, to see the bigger purpose. He said, you meant it for evil for me, against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. You can see Joseph's thinking. His people. His people. Have you noticed that the two places we read, he was talking about preserving people. It is a God meant it so that I can be successful and prosperous. No. That means the fulfillment of your destiny is about people. Have you seen it there? In Genesis 45, he talked about people. He said, God sent me ahead to preserve lives. Here again, he's talking about people. He's talking about people. The focus was not himself. Most times when you are self-centered, that selfish self-centeredness is the reason why people stay in offense, really. When you get yourself out of the way and you see what God is ready to use you to do in the lives of others, it becomes difficult to get offended. He said, God went ahead. You meant it for evil, but God planned it so that much lives can be saved. So there's no such thing as success is the best revenge on your enemies. Or is the best revenge on people who thought you no amount to anything. Now that you have bought that Escalade, or you bought that S-Class, you say, let's go and show them. You know, how you know people are turning towards depression? When they start putting things on social media, and they say, those who don't want us, you don't want them. Those who don't want us, those who did not value us enough to be around us. Okay, which is of I. You wish you can slap through social media sometimes. What is that? What are you doing with that? Listen, humans have enough troubles to deal with in their personal life to be thinking about you. I say, if you don't think we have value enough to celebrate us, why will you be in our inner circle? Why are we all those confusion? I can't remember how they are, but you understand what I'm saying. That's no life. Don't live there. Don't live there. Be so busy pursuing God's vision for your life. You don't care about who doesn't want to be in your inner circle, outer circle. No, what's that?
Everybody will post you. Who's not posting you? Everybody. You have to be the one saying or saying. God, they don't.
If they don't like us, we too can like us. Like who? Go where you are celebrated. If they are tolerated, you say, if they are tolerating you, they don't deserve you. They don't. Now, we use that to help people at a level, but you see, grow out of that thing. No, imagine telling me now, if they don't tolerate you, what are you talking about? Who? Tolerate what? You can't see me, I can't see you. I'm busy. Tolerate what? Praise God. And now you are getting depressed because the person did not comment on your picture or do not like your picture. He did not tag you. One time somebody said that I did not tag. I say tag. That's years ago. I say, really? From today, permanently you will not be tagged. For what? I don't have time for high maintenance relationship. So you are even in town. You did not call me. I thought we were friends. Really? You know how you know true friends are mature people? Even if you've not seen for 1 year, when you see it's like you've been talking. Do I have a witness? That's friendship. Nobody's harassing you. Nobody say, babe, now you enjoy, you know, you are forgotten people like us. You know, those kind of people, they cannot be in your inner circle. Amen. Listen, real friends are so busy that even them, they are feeling bad that they have not reached you. Amen. So when you meet, you just continue. You just continue. Hey, babe, how you doing? Guy, how you doing? Once we go, you know, I see what. It just flows. I thought we were real friends. What does that?
Stay away from me.
I thought you were supposed to be there for me. What was that? Listen to me. Don't live in that zone. Don't live in that zone. Okay? Don't live in that zone. Be sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Love people. Be the one positioned to give. Okay? If God gives you friends, and you know, look, these are my friends. Be on the giving side. Don't wait to receive. That's real life. Don't wait to receive. Be on the giving side. Do all the calling. Do all the texting. Those that are in your inner. Do you understand? Don't wait. I've been calling in the last 3 months. You are counting. That you are the one who has... Does it even make sense to you? Praise God. This one, you not call somebody until he's in need. Are you not grateful that they can reach you when they are in need? No, think about it. It's about thinking. Be grateful that they can reach you when they are in need. That means you are blessed. Glory to God. It means you are blessed. Hallelujah. So he said, you meant it for evil. Verse 20, quickly. We are reading 2021. And then we read Message translation. Put it up. But God had planned it for good to save many lives. To save many lives. That's what your destiny is about. To save many lives. To save me. Joseph never thought of, hey, you know, see what he cannot see. This is what I was telling people then. He did rubbish it on their face. Are you with me? As harmless as that is, he didn't do it. He didn't do it. You see why God increased him? He didn't do it. And so, this is what I was telling you that time. That was the dream I had. I've been trying to convince you people. You sold me. You didn't get it. Well, you are my brothers. What was somebody do? Blood is blood. I beg Jerry, just come. Eh? What can you? That's Africa. And blood is blood. What can somebody do? Just take this estate and just, with your family, just move into Goshen. It is well. We will add, it is well. You speak Christianese on top. May God help you. Rubbishing it on their face. Guess what? He didn't do it. He didn't try to tell him, this is what I was trying. No, there's no time. There's no time for that. Because you don't have guile in your spirit. It's not there. There's no offense. It's not there. You permanently have goodwill toward men. Goodwill. Goodwill. For you, you know that did it ignorantly. And then number two, you see what God can do through the negative actions of others. Are you aware that God can use people's ill treatment of you to push you into your destiny? That was what happened for Joseph. He said, now therefore, fear not. I will nourish you, Makibaya, and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. People that sold him. Is that higher life that I've been talking to you about? Is that higher life? not meddling in small things. Who does she think he is? Is it because she has money? Who does he think? No. Those are... He said, don't condescend to men of low estate. Don't condescend. Don't condescend. In that context, Paul was telling them to step down and help. Amen. Don't condescend. Give me Message translation. He said, don't you see? You planned evil against me, but God used those same plans for my good. Can you see the evil plans people had toward you as something that God can use for your good? Can you see it? He says, all things work together for good to them that love God. So if they rejected you, it's for your good. If they disappointed you, it's for your good. If they insulted you, it's for your good. If they treated you lightly, it's for your good. If they treated you like, well, you are nothing, it's for your good. Use the positive energy in it. He says, can't you see? You're planning against me for evil, but God, use those same plans for my good. As you see all around you right now, life for many people. Can you see? Life for many people. 21. Easy now. You have nothing to fear. I'll take care of you and your children. He reassured them, speaking with them heart to heart. Heart to heart with people who sold you. No wonder I ended up in a palace. Listen, your love work gets God's attention. It does. Your decision to walk in love gets God's attention. Oh yes, it does. Number two case study, Abraham. Abraham, in chapter 13, he was cheated by his nephew Lot. You remember? You see, well, let's not fight. If the man had sense, that is your uncle who brought you on the journey with him, you prospered because of him. And he knew it. He said, now, let it not be striving between your headsmen and mine. We are brothers. Turn anywhere, choose any portion. And I will take what's left. He's supposed to say, sir, you take first and give to me. But in his mind, finally, I can be ahead. That I want to take first position thinking does not help. That thing you had from primary school, you were hiding your assignment so you can take first. In the real life, it does not work. God will have to kill it. Listen to me. God will have to kill it for you to make progress in life. Because there are seasons in your life, God will promote people around you so that you can see. So that he can test what is in your heart. So it does not work in real life. That competitive, I want to carry first, it doesn't work. Until God sees you pushing another up, he cannot lift you. Are you here? In your industry, in ministry, I mean, in your family? Don't try to carry it first. That was all Lot wanted to do. Now I'll be ahead. Looking for opportunities in the flesh to be ahead is nonsense. And I've told you, don't play carnal cards with a spiritual man. No, you don't. Lot ended up in a cave. Abraham ended up owning the whole world. In fact, that night, the Bible says the Lord came to him and said, look north, south, east, west, as far as your eyes can see, including where Lord chose, I'll give it to you. So the guy took the best part and left. Guess what? In chapter 14, he was bundled by Chedorlaomer in Sodom. The bully came to town. The Bible says he took Lot and his household. Guess who went to defend him? Abraham. When he heard that his nephew was taken, he didn't remember that this was the guy that cheated him. No. He took 318 servants, chained in his house. Let's go and get him out. Purge your soul of offense. Let's go and get him out. You know what some typical average humans would do? Oh, they've taken my servant. He thought he was a smart boy. This is my boy that I brought from the village to help him. He thought he was a smart boy. See where he ended up now. Hope he learns his lessons. Hope he learns his lessons. Then he... Wait. Hold on. Do you know what it means to go and attack four kings that defeated five kings? Naturally speaking, he was risking his life. He was risking his life for the person, someone who cheated him. Do you understand? But there's no offense. No offense. No offense. Are you blessed tonight? This is our life. You have to be so big that you live above offenses. Be big. Be big. Hallelujah. You know, when he returned, you know what God told him? He said, Abraham, I'm your shield and your rapidly increasing money supply, your exceeding great reward. I say your love work gets God's attention. Never forget that. Number three, what about David? What about David? David had every reason to be offended at Saul, but he didn't. In fact, even in death, his love and honor for the man who was after his life was amazing. It was amazing. Time enough, I need to also read some scriptures. In death, give me second Samuel chapter 1, 17 to 23. We'll read it. In death, do you know how many times David dodged the spear, the javelin? Wanted to pin him to the wall. About three times or so. He was to be killed. You know why the javelin could not get him? The anointing. Hi. No, that was what he was referencing. You understand? Is that understand? You say, how could he die as though he was not anointed with oil? That means this is his life experience. He escapes the edge of the sword by this oil on his head. He said, the oil that I know, it will wave you. You always have a testimony of deliverance. Aya. You can't crash in a car like that and they say he died. No, not with the anointing. No, not with the anointing. Or crash in a plane just like that. No, there'll always be almost, but I escaped. He knew it. That was his experience. This is what he was talking about. He said, how could Saul die as though he wasn't anointed with oil? When he was talking about Abner, when he died, he said, Abner died like a fool dieth. He said, he died like a fool dieth. He said, why did he die like the way fools die? Kai, Sabato Leviathan. Three times, they threw it. He escaped. He escaped. The anointing. The anointing. He spoke with such certainty. I know it's a digression, but it's blessing you. He had tested the anointing. He knew what it meant. He knew a man with the oil should not die at war. Anyhow. It doesn't matter how fierce the war is. There will always be... He's saying the anointing will arrange the circumstances for it not to happen. That means even if you're not with your sword, and somebody is about to pierce you with the sword, something will happen. Something will happen. Something will happen. Something will happen. This is what the anointing does. I believe in the anointing. I believe in the anointing. Know that there will always be a testimony. There will always be a testimony. This is why when people just die, we ask questions. Okay, what happened? What happened? Remember a dear man of God, who died in a plane crash years ago. The husband later said that she talked about it. Like, I don't want to go on this trip. She kept saying, I don't feel like going. But I've given these people my word, like for the second or third time or so. If not, Kai, I don't want to go. That's the anointing trying to protect her. Because there will always be a way. Always. Always. It doesn't fail. There are no accidents in the realm of the spirit. There are no accidents. There are no accidents. What did Jacob do when he laid hands on the sons of Joseph? He was praying for the lad. He said, may the redeeming angel who has preserved me all these years watch over this lad. He talked about the redeeming angel. What does he say? He had walked with God. He had seen how his life played out over the years. How he was delivered from the wickedness of men. At a particular point when he was returning with his family, the Bible says the terror of the Lord was upon the men, the cities round about, and they could not pursue the sons of Jacob. They saw them passing. They wanted to attack them, but they couldn't. Why? The terror of the Lord. We call it the terror of Jacob. He knew. In those days, you don't just pass. No military protection. You're just passing with his family. But nobody could attack him. It was written in the Bible, it said the terror of the Lord was upon them. That is the working of that redeeming angel. Of that redeeming angel. Listen, there's a certainty to this covenant. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's not trial and error. No, there's a certainty. You can rise and turn like a raccoon and declare, I can never be broke. There's a certainty. I can never die. There's a certainty. I cannot be killed. There's a certainty. You will say it and declare it. So you pray for them and say, Lord, may that redeeming angel watch over these lads. May that redeeming angel, meaning that angel that ensured my life was preserved through these 120 years. I think he lived 135. Joseph did 110. Yes. Let him preserve these boys, these lads. Hallelujah. You can put the scripture up now. But were you blessed by that? The anointing preserves. There will always be a testimony. There will always be a testimony. If they pointed a gun at you, is it that they don't shoot it? Or as they are trying to shoot it, it will hook. Or if they shoot it, it will not enter. There has to be a way. Do you understand? There has to be a way. There has to be a way. Are you here? And this anointing upon you will orchestrate the way. It will orchestrate it. Yours is to believe. The anointing will get to work. There is. To be without God in this world, you are dead. You are a dead dog. You know, I tell you, I think it was years ago back in school. Somebody died. I was telling them, man intelligent. So I say, can you see that life insurance is the first? Not the one you go and do in insurance office. Spiritual insurance. What's the assurance that... I almost spoke one native language now. You are raising your head and feeling great. Is that this one? Is that this one? And you are not settling down with God. What's the assurance that all the money you are making and the learning you are doing, someone just point gun and blow your head just one evening? Blow it off. Do you understand? There has to be an assurance now. Are you here? There has to be an assurance. And God wants you to be sure. What's the guarantee that somebody out of envy will not just release incantations and sorcery against you? I said, no, I'll go abroad. You are still uneducated spiritually. You are still not intelligent. You'll go abroad. Listen, no, demons don't need visa. Hope you know. Witches don't need visa. Are you aware? They don't need visa. Your village people don't need visa. Praise God. Are you blessed? They don't need visa. No, the way some people reason, like, okay, that's you using human wisdom, just soaking God, amen. Find your security in the gospel of the Lord Jesus. That's what I'm saying. Put the scripture up. Let's read it. A man wanted you killed without apology. When he died, you were not happy. That means you were not offended. Remember, God called him a man after my heart. David was a good man. David was a good man. You can see how there are weightier matters in this world in dealing with God. I told you before, spiritual sins are more dangerous than physical sins. Do you understand? Because spiritual sins can be, in a way, quote and unquote, excused. You have a reason to be bitter. You have a reason to be unforgiving. You have a reason to be offended. You have a reason to be jealous. You know, those silent spiritual things. You have a reason to be unforgiving. And your heart begins to deceive you. If you commit physical sin, you carry money from somewhere. It's physical. You know, you are conscious. I did something wrong. Do you understand? You stole money. You know. But this one. So remember, David took somebody's wife and killed the person. He confessed before God. God forgave him. Amen. Now, there was something he got right. And that is that conscience void of offense toward man. Watch this. And David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan, his son. You say, oh, it's just Jonathan. No, he says over Saul. Also, he bade them teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. My God. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher. Next verse. He says, the beauty of Israel is slain upon thy high places. What? He calls Saul the beauty of Israel. You call your enemy the beauty of Israel. The person wants to kill you. This is the real depth. This is depth. Do you understand? So you can look beyond the frailty of a man. You can look beyond the frailty. Are you following me? Are you blessed tonight? You can look beyond the human frailty of a person and see what they carry. He says, the beauty of Israel is slain upon thy high places. How are the mighty falling? Tell it not in Gath, publish not in Ashkelon, in the street of Ashkelon. Let the daughters of the Philistines rejoice. Let the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Oh God. He said, ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let it be rain upon you. No fields of offering, for that the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away. The shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. Glory to God. What a man. Verse 23. What a man. He said, Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives. He says Saul was lovely and pleasant. You can't do this without tripping God. God will trip for you. Because this behavior is in the class of God. Did you get that? Only God thinks like this. He said, while we're yet sinners, he loved us. Jesus died for the ungodly. Only God sees like this. He sees light in darkness. So when the man does what is in the class of God, God salutes. God honors the man. He honors the man. Are you blessed tonight? When there's no change as yet, purge your conscience of offenses. Have no guile. Practice mercy. Show. That's why it's called mercy. Mercy, they don't deserve it. Give it to them. It's called mercy. He said they were lovely in their lives. Can you look at someone who treated you badly and admire something about the person? Can you do that? I say, well, Kai, this person sure has this. Do you understand? Can you do that? This is not Quarelu. The person wanted to kill him. Yet, in his death, he said he was lovely, pleasant in their lives. He says, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles, stronger than lions. Hallelujah. Are you blessed tonight? Purge your conscience of offenses. We'll wrap up next week with our focus on faith, with paying attention to faith. You'll be blessed too. I'll share four things that faith means. What faith means in crisis, what faith means when there is no change as yet. I'll share them with you next week, Tuesday. Are you blessed tonight? Rise to your feet. Let's bless the bread. Let's take the body and the blood. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Kiro sevana. Pafematina soshtepura dile sepanada. Just while on your feet, just speak in other tongues. Bless the name of the Lord. Mentos kivreti le saprenuga. Gentos kira safena to safema to labaya. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Can you just lift your right hand and say, Father, truly tonight, I'm determined to exercise myself to have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. In the name of the Lord Jesus, can you talk to the Lord? Can you talk to the Lord? Sovra petani la sapatoskaya. Lega brunda 30 seconds. Talk to the Lord. Liko sebrenda kapatosishta. What have you heard tonight? Just pray it. Lord, in my life's journey, I live above offenses. I live above offenses. I live above offenses. Zefi matula frebida sapatana. Zepe, can we speak in tongues in 1 minute? Jovre petila sepredile kuskepatana. Zushti vapeta lovra patisa. Mapena seponda sushtapora de la sapatena. Zurepena ke sushtapona lika sapana. Mzobretila kons ke shtapora de la sapa. Zevrembetong zependila tongs caprida. Entosi fapeta sista. Jevrepetos kapa.
Aga. He's an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wings of power and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom.
We're gonna sing that song again as we break the bread. Father, we thank you. Jesus, we thank you. You are perfect Passover. You've been sacrificed for us. Lord, we stand in this blood tonight. And we declare that every word you've spoken concerning us finds speedy fulfillment. In the name of Jesus. We stand in this blood tonight. And we declare that we are triumphant in the name of Jesus. Mountains before us have become molehills in the name of Jesus. We receive answers of peace at the table tonight concerning family life, concerning finances, concerning business, career, Lepros kishta, likepo bodily health, we receive answers of peace in the name of Jesus. Lepetons kepeto leprida kopatos kebaya. By reason of this blood, we proclaim favor. We are satisfied with favor. This week, we are satisfied with favor. We are full of the blessing. Whatever everyone is looking forward to, believing you for, let it be rapid response from this table. Rapid response from this table. Rapid response from this table. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Now we're going to praise God with that song. You break the bread and take it. And sing the song passionately. Or after sing the song, just speak in tongues and make the declarations, okay, of your heart desires. Amen. Go ahead and do that.
Let's go. Sing our God. He's the awesome.
He's
an awesome
God.
Yes.
From heaven above.
Father, we thank you. We thank you for our heart desires are granted. Long standing battles have come to an end in our favor. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can you go ahead and rejoice?
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.